You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan the Danette, Dan Patrick Show. We'll talk to Reggie Miller. He'll join us a little bit later on. Talk about the games yesterday, last night. Some controversy in the Mavs game against the Clippers. And, of course, the Lakers go into battle against the Blazers. So Reg will join us. Peter King from NBC Sports. He's on the road covering the NFL. And we're hearing now the Kansas City Chiefs will allow about 16,500 fans, 22% of capacity. At least that's what they're planning on. Dallas, the Cowboys have talked about this. Jerry Jones has talked about this. But we'll talk to Peter about that. A few other things going on with the NFL. Also, he spent some time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. Got a chance to talk to him. So Peter joins us a little bit later on. You can get in touch if you'd like. Variety of ways. You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. When we say good morning, chat row, those watching on youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow, and our great radio affiliates around the country. Mario is putting the finishing touches on a tutorial to help you go from YouTube to Peacock on Monday. That's when we make the official move from youtube.com/TheDanPatrickShow to Peacock. It's very simple. It's going to take you about 20 seconds, maybe a minute at the most, but you'll be able to find us there, and we're very excited about it. That takes place on Monday. Also, if you want to get involved in the next great podcast, come on in, but you got a lot of competition. Just got the numbers yesterday. We're going to have close to 500 entries and so many great ideas for the next great podcast.com. We're going to somehow try to filter this down to 10 semifinalists, and the winner, I'm going into business with you. We will help produce and finance a podcast for an entire year. Thanks to our relationship with iHeartRadio. Yes, Paulie?
I submitted one about foliage. Did anyone else do that, or am I alone on that one?
You are alone right now on that. But I don't like to give out, you know, some of the topics, subjects that people... Now, all of a sudden, there's going to be a wave of foliage podcast.
Just shut up.
Yes, you should have. You had cornered the market. I got one on shark sightings from the beach, and it was not under McLovin's name... But it was under Sarah.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
So your wife's name is Sarah. So I don't know if that's, you know, any relation, but it was Shark Sightings from the Shore, I think was the title of the podcast.
From the Shore.
From the Shore. Yes, yes, Eden.
Do you think, Paul, if your foliage podcast takes off, you'll leave the show?
Oh! Oh, somebody in the back row just woke up.
Leaf the show.
He'll
nice.
Be leafing the
Thank
show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Todd. It's Todd, great. You all right?
I'm fine.
All right. You seem a little on edge here.
Well, my son, I don't know if you've heard, is heading to Syracuse tomorrow.
Oh, okay. And you're driving?
We're actually taking him. He's not going on his own.
Oh.
So he has to be, you know, we got to nest him into his freshman dorm, and got a lot of emotions
nest.
Going on.
I don't think you nest.
He's still my little boy. I know he's 18 and in college and all that, but you know we still have to.
You're reading some kind of parenting book or something. That sounds like something that you just got from like chapter 14 of the dad book.
Are you going to teach him how to make a bed? Because someone's going to teach you first.
I don't know how to. I'm dealing with some mixed emotions. That's okay.
I know, but just give me 3 hours here.
I can do that.
Okay, but you've been wandering a little bit.
I got to pull it back together. Yeah. Just there's a lot of stuff going
on. Todd's son is leafing for college.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Pandemic and protocols and masks and...
And nesting, apparently.
Nesting, virtual classes, getting all this stuff.
Those are things he has to deal with, not you.
That's true.
This program brought to you by LegalZoom. You can start online, network of independent attorneys, providing advice when you need it. Since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Yep, my daughter went back to school, but she's taking classes on campus, you know, virtually. I'm thinking, did you have to go back to college to take classes virtually? And then, as I was told, well, that probably allows these universities to charge you the full ticket price, that there's no bargains here. And so, hey, they're on campus, but they're not in classrooms right now. So I don't know if other people are dealing with that, but I text my daughter yesterday. I said, hey, classes start. She goes, yeah, but I'm in my room. We're doing it virtually. I'm going, why did you go back? She said, well, I don't know. I guess they got to validate, you know, charging you all that money for tuition. All right. McLevin will have a poll question, I believe. It was great yesterday. There was a March Madness feel to this. Now, you didn't have multiple games going on at the same time, but you did have games starting in the afternoon, back to back to back to back. And it was a lot of fun. Nuggets and the Jazz, that was a lot of fun. You know, when you're putting up 57 on a Monday afternoon, that was an impressive performance. Donovan Mitchell. But it did feel like Donovan Mitchell-esque that he would put it up on a Monday afternoon. And I don't know how many, you'd have to be a diehard NBA fan to be watching that game. And then you get overshadowed by, you know, Porzingis putting up 42 and Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis getting thrown out of the game with two technicals, which we'll talk about in a moment. Celtics and the 76ers. I realize the 76ers don't have a player who can beat you off the dribble. Other than that, good luck against the Celtics. The Raptors look very impressive against the Nets, but there's no surprise there. Magic and the Bucks tonight, Heat, Pacers, Thunder, Rockets, and then it'll be Blazers and the Lakers. McLevin, you got a poll question for me today.
Yeah, I asked you this before the show, and you didn't really bite on it, but I'm going to try it again.
All right.
Which was a better supporting cast for Kawhi Leonard? Last year in Toronto with Kyle Lowry, MVP candidate Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, and Marc Gasol, or this year with what we saw last night with Beverly, George, Marcus Morris, Montrezl Harrell, or Zubats, or one of those guys? I don't even think it's close.
Well, I think Toronto, there was a team feel to it where the Clippers feel like they have individual parts. Toronto, they understood their roles. But as I said yesterday, I think the Clippers are going to have they'll struggle a little bit in the opening round because they haven't been together. They're trying to get that familiarity here. And I think it's going to take them a little bit of time. And plus, keep in mind, Dallas puts up points. If Porzingis doesn't get tossed, I wouldn't have been surprised if Dallas won that game last night. Even though, you know, Luka had 11 turnovers, this is the highest scoring team in the NBA. And I just didn't get, you know, it felt like there was a little bit more a sense of urgency with Dallas, although you'd never know it by the way they start. They were down 18-2. The Clippers, it felt like, you know, this is an opening round match. Let's kind of get our sea legs here and get familiarized with everybody on this team. And that would have been one that I thought the Mavs were going to steal one. And that might be the case with Portland tonight against the Lakers. Are we going to see a Portland team that is still in playoff mode, you know, scratching and clawing to get in? Are they going to be spent? And are the Lakers going to all of a sudden go, okay, now we need to turn it on. We got to start playing basketball here. Yeah, McLevin.
I just look at the Clippers' talent. I mean, it's a lot of, like, Marcus Morris, Patrick Beverley. I mean, retreads. Like, these are not...
But they play roles.
There's a million role players there. I think Toronto has four stars on their, you know, like, all-star level players, and the Clippers have a bunch of journeymen. I mean, come on, Marcus Morris. How many... That's like the eighth playoff team we've seen in all
the
years.
I know, but if you fill a role, they're, you know, great teams have role players because you have a couple of stars, and then you need people to play, you know, certain minutes and do certain things.
But isn't there this narrative that the Clippers are loaded with stars?
No, depth.
I feel like people think the Clippers have tons and tons of talent.
Well,
you know, because of Paul George and Kawhi. I mean, because they're so top heavy.
Yeah, but you know, the Lakers don't have a ton of talent. They have, they're top heavy with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You know, a lot of these teams are top heavy. The Rockets, Westbrook and Harden. You know, you're finding you got two really good players, great players, and then what do you have left? Dallas, top heavy, Porzingis and Doncic. You know, 76ers would have been top heavy with Simmons and Embiid. Tatum and Brown. Jaylen Brown last night was wonderful. He was really, him and Jason Tatum, that's quite a pairing there for guys who are, what, 22, 23 years of age. And the future right there. Yeah, Paul.
But it does feel like there's a confidence in the Clippers because of what Kawhi did last year with a bunch of guys who the average fan doesn't know. Pascal Siakam. Kyle Lowry's pretty well known, but he's not a household name or anything, even though they're very good players. And they look at what Kawhi did last year and say he could easily do this again. He's had a healthy year. He's managed his minutes. He basically took 4 months off. That's why the confidence is so high.
I think Toronto is a better team, last year's supporting cast. But once again, they knew what they were supposed to do and when they were supposed to do it. The Clippers are still kind of trying to figure that out here. And, you know, depending on what you get from Dallas, you know, it's either going to be a real struggle or maybe last night was the only tough game that they're going to have. But, you know, Porzingis got tossed and, you know, I know that they don't like the visual of, you know, players getting together and maybe pushing each other. And it's a quick whistle. And the other one he never should have been teed up for, where he blocked a shot and he, you know, kind of swung his fist in the air, not at anybody, but they ran him and they never should have. You know, this is playoff basketball. The Mavs are in the playoffs. They haven't been in the playoffs. And you're facing the Clippers. You know, I understand that you're on edge there. You're fighting for everything there. And I thought the NBA did a real disservice to the game last night because Porzingis never should have been tossed from that game. Here is Rick Carlisle, the Mavs head coach, on Porzingis.
The thing that happened with KP, it's just unfortunate. You know, we just learned from it, and we got to understand this is part of the emotions of the playoffs. He's protecting his teammate on the second technical, you know, which is, you know, the right thing to do in the playoffs. But you know, the first one where it was an air punch, that's automatic. You know, they call one on him, they call one on George. So, you know, we'll avoid that in game two, and we'll go from there.
They should have teed up Morris as well in the other altercation there between those two. I was surprised because I went, wow, they just tossed him. Here is Luka Doncic talking about Porzingis being ejected.
I knew, like, KP had my back, you know. He did it for me, you know. He did it for his teammate, you know. He had my back, and not just me, you know, the whole team appreciate that. I don't think it was fair to get him out of the game, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, they decided, so we had to play without him, which is tough.
So that's Luka Doncic. And then you have the games coming up tonight. You know, not lost in this, but part of this game was Doncic putting up 42 points. Now, he did have 11 turnovers. He said he played terrible, which he didn't play terrible. But those 11 turnovers, you know, at worst, you got to cut that in half. But you also understand if you watch him play, he gets forced into a lot of situations. He doesn't have bailout players there. So he really has to take it upon himself. And when Porzingis went out, Doncic took it upon himself to keep them in the game. Here is Paul George and his thoughts on Luka Doncic.
He's the future. I mean, we didn't come in this thinking we was going to stop Luka. But what we did expect was to make it tough for him. And that's the thing about these series. These games add up. And we're going to continue to try to wear him down as much as possible.
And that's the key. You just throw different bodies, different sizes at him. Quickness, you know, size, speed, and you just hope that he wears down. But he is young, and if Porzingis is able to contribute the way he has been in the bubble, then, you know, they're going to be a tough out. I kept saying all along, Dallas to me is as tough an out as Portland is. If Dallas was playing the Lakers, we would be talking about the Mavericks being a tough out. And if Portland was playing the Clippers, we wouldn't be talking as much about it. It comes down to it's LeBron James, and people are trying to get LeBron James into their shows, into the vernacular, into the dialogue here. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Any other poll questions, suggestions there, McLevin?
Okay, off of what you were saying about Tatum and Brown, which young duo would you pick if you could start a team? Luka 20 and Kristaps 25, Porzingis that is. Tatum is 22 and Brown is 23, Jaylen Brown. Yeah. And how about Denver? Jamal Murray is 23 and Jokic is only 25. And do they fit in that category? I don't know why no one talks about Jamal Murray amongst this 25 and under stars.
Yeah, he gets lost in Devin Booker shadow. Now, I think that, you know, he's a good player. Not a great player. He's a good player. If DeAndre Ayton was a little better, then you might look at that duo, too, in Phoenix. But it still comes down to Doncic, who I think is going to win multiple MVPs.
Hot, 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 hot.
And Tatum and Brown, that's a really good duo. But I think Porzingis can still be even better. And you know, because he does, at times, put up numbers, and he gives you everything. He gives you points, rebounds, and blocks. And he can shoot threes. And Luka gives you everything as well. And I would say that I would go Dallas just because of those, because of Luka's age, that he's only 20 and he's doing this. Yeah, Paul.
I was just looking at the schedule tonight. It's, I got to tell you, from a West East Coast standpoint, 9 o'clock start for a Lakers playoff game. It's usually 10:30. This time last year, that'd be a 10:30 tip off.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rockets, Thunder, 6 o'clock. West Coast, you're going to be coming home from work and the game's going to be rolling.
Heat and Pacers, that'll be a little spicy. Magic Bucks, I don't expect much out of that. Thunder Rockets without Russell Westbrook could be challenging for the Rockets against the Thunder. All the Thunder trying to do is, if we get one or two games here, then all of a sudden, even if Westbrook comes back, Oklahoma City, Chris Paul, you know, couldn't coexist with James Harden. Harden wanted him out. They traded him. They got Russell Westbrook here. Chris Paul is playing well. Like, when you want somebody to run a point, we get the old way you ran a point is you actually were a leader out there. You were a point guard and pointing people in the right direction. You know, the position has changed and, you know, the lines are blurred in what we want out of a point guard. Chris Paul is playing old-time, old-style point guard. And Oklahoma City has become a dangerous team here. Yeah, see.
I bet you these players love playing the early games, though. Instead of waiting around all day for the game, instead you get, it's like 1:30. You get to play. You're out by dinner.
Yeah.
Go home. You get to watch a little more basketball. That's a pretty great schedule.
Yeah. When you consider you're in the bubble and you sit around all day.
All day.
Man, it'd be great to be playing basketball in, what, 5 hours, 4 hours from now. You're like, let's get it out of the way.
Even the 4 o'clock start.
Yeah.
Like, all right, a late dinner. No big deal. Yeah. Cool.
Hey, I might go watch one of these games there. Come back. That'd be good. I mean, you want to be in prime time. But if I'm in the bubble and I got nothing else to do, I'd be like, yeah, I'll play. I'll play at 1:30 in the afternoon. I'm okay with that. All right, 18 after the hour, we'll take a break and we'll get to phone calls here. We'll settle on a poll question. Big controversy with my San Diego Padres. Big controversy. You didn't even realize there was a big controversy. I'll have that for you coming up next because baseball's unwritten rules, once again, were broken. Have that for you coming up next. This is the Dan Patrick Show. BuyRaycon.com. You're going to check out my everyday E25 earbuds. The best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime. And I love playtime. Seamless Bluetooth pairing. More bass. More compact design. Gives you nice noise isolating fit. And the Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of the other premium wireless earbuds in the market. And they sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands that you know. They're comfortable. Perfect for a conference call, video chats, binging podcast. Also, they're stylish, discreet, no dangling wires or stems there. And once you put them on, you're going to realize that there's a different feel and a different sound to them. Snoop Dogg swears by them. So does Cardi B. You can get 15% off your order. It's already a low price. It's already half the price of these premium wireless earbuds. And then they're taking 15% off of that. Go to buyraycon.com/Patrick. That's buyraycon.com/Patrick for 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This award-nominated show is brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. I will bring up the topic that happened last night with the San Diego Padres game against the Rangers. And Fernando Tatis Jr., he was swinging on a 3-0 count. And, of course, you can't do that if you're up by a certain number of runs, apparently. So I'll have that for you coming up next segment here, because that is our play of the day. This announcement by the Kansas City Chiefs, I haven't seen too many articles on it, but I was a little bit surprised that they actually have a number in mind of fans who are going to be able to go to Kansas City Chiefs games. And they're looking at about 22% of capacity, which We did the math. It's around 17,000 fans. I don't know how you pick the fans that get to go in. Because if you're going to have a lottery with season ticket holders and then you rotate there, how do you decide, do you want to go to the first game? Do you want to go to a great matchup with somebody? I don't know how they're going to do that, but the Chiefs announced that yesterday. The Falcons have said that they are keeping with state and local requirements. Capacity at home games would be 10 to 20,000 at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, if fans are allowed. The Ravens, they said that season tickets for 2020 will be deferred to 2021 if they're able to, under state and local government rules and regulations, have fans attend the games. Then they will talk about the percentage that can go. Buffalo Bills, back in July, said that still in the process of planning for the possibility of limited amounts of spectators. The Bears said they're not going to have fans in the stands. The Bengals probably won't have fans in the stands. There'll be no tailgating. The Packers, no fans in the stands. You know, Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones said, we're having fans in the stands. And it feels like it's going to be a lot more than 17,000 fans there at Jerry World. Now, this is subject to change, obviously. But the Chiefs announced that capacity will be capped at 22%. Raiders, one of the first teams to announce there would be no fans at their home games either. Patriots said back in mid-July they're expecting about 20% capacity at Gillette Stadium. But everybody has to go through the state and local approvals before they're able to officially announce something here. The New Orleans Saints announced home opener in the Superdome, played without fans in attendance. That game, of course, will be with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. The Giants and Jets, they announced that they would not have fans in the stands until further notice. The Washington football team... Who knows? I'm not sure if they're going to have fans. It feels like, according to at least one team official, there'd be no fans in the stands at FedEx Field in Maryland. But that's just an update right now. And we'll talk to Peter King about this coming up next hour with Kansas City Chiefs announcing this. How do you decide who you're letting in? And some of these other stadiums, you know, just the protocol of going in. Imagine this. If you ever have flown internationally, and they say show up 3 hours before the flight. That's what you might have. That might be the scenario here at these stadiums. That'll be, this is where you enter. This is what you're allowed to do. And this is where you exit. And if you get up to go to the concession stand or the bathroom, you must wear your mask. Then you might be able to pull this off. But that's probably what's going to happen. When you get there, you must get there in this amount of time for you to be allowed to go in, and you're going to go in one area and you'll exit in another area. And whatever testing we have by then, you know, whatever the protocols are, if it's measuring your temperature, but it feels like you're probably going to have to get there early and go through protocols to be able to go in and watch a football game. Yeah, Paul.
I'm curious if the teams that are having 25% or 20% of fans in will allow alcohol sales, because crowd control and alcohol rarely mix well by the time you get to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but you have these owners who are going to lose $100 million.
Yeah.
They want all the concessions that they can make, especially Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones, he owns the company that provides the concessions for all these football teams. So if Jerry wants it, I'm going to guess that we're probably going to have that here. But they're going to lose somewhere between $75 and $100 million, these owners. And that's why they're going to try to get everything they possibly can. You know, do you waive a parking fee, which I know it sounds crazy for me to say that, but just as a way of saying to your fan base, thank you for showing up. Thank you for coming into the game. Now, I know it's pie in the sky. I'm always looking for owners to give something back to fans, and I don't know why I keep doing it. Maybe one day an owner goes, you know, I was thinking maybe I'll give back to the fans. And it'll be Daniel Snyder in Washington. It must be really important. You've raised your hand twice, Todd. Yes.
There's also a fear when you give something back, whether it's something for free or at a discounted price, and how do you go back again? Then that price becomes that much more profound if you went from spending $50, $60 on parking to nothing, and then it's going to all of a sudden go back to that price. It's going to be a real like sticker shock kind of thing.
Would you go to the game? Let's say you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and you got tickets, and you could go see any of their 8 home games. Would you go? Paulie, I'll start with you.
I'm leaning towards yes. I look at it like going to the beach. If you can control yourself and the entrance exit policy is controlled, once you get to the game, you can kind of protect yourself.
I don't worry about me.
No, I know.
I worry about everybody else. But it's like when you ride a motorcycle. You don't worry about you. You worry about everybody else who's on the road. And that would be my concern. Seton, would you go to a Kansas City Chiefs game?
Not right now, but maybe sometime during the season.
Fritzy?
I miss going to sporting events, but I'm not ready. I haven't gone inside a restaurant or even sitting with the outdoor patio thing, so I'm not at that place yet.
McLovin?
Yeah, I would go.
Really?
Well, yeah.
How come?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it. I had it in April.
Yeah.
I would give myself 6 months, but I'd mask up hard.
Have you had any follow-up?
Yeah.
When you tested positive and then you were asymptomatic?
No.
You were not asymptomatic?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I told you on air, like I had a swollen gland that wouldn't go away, and I had like this throat thing and a head thing. I saw my doctor twice.
Okay.
But I never was like scary stuff, you know, like what you read about, like Bill Plaschke. None of that stuff happened.
Yeah, Bill Plaschke of the LA Times. He wrote a column on, you know, it hit him and hit him hard.
That was a devastating column.
Yeah. Yeah. Wear your mask. You know, you want football this year? Wear your mask. Just let's see if we can pull this off. Not the mask. Let's see if we can pull off football. Wear a mask. Let's try it. All right. No politics. Just common sense. Let's just try it. Because best case scenario, we have football. Worst case scenario, we won't. But at least we'll try. Wear a mask. That's all. Yes, McLovin.
How do you space out the stadium? Is there like printed blueprints on how you do this?
Yes.
So is that 6 feet? Does that make you feel better?
I would be right now on the edge of going to a game. But I would want to know where we are in a month from now. And that seems like it's an eternity from now of where are we going to be? And what's the process going to be? Are you able to sit with your family? How close are other fans to you? But I would lean towards maybe going if I knew the proximity of where this seating was. And what is the game plan? Because it's not just get in and all of a sudden, you know, you got a party that breaks out. And Paulie brings up a valid point. When you throw alcohol in here, now all of a sudden, like, who is policing this? And then when you leave the building, like, I just don't know. And there's going to be tailgating. And they're not going to be able to control the tailgating here. That would be my concern. I just don't know how they're going to enforce all of this. And if I knew that and felt secure with that, then yeah, probably. You know, an open stadium. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, like, going to an NFL game in the best of times is not an easy experience necessarily. That 72-inch screen is very attractive.
Oh, they've made it so good that you don't need to go to a game, want to go to a game, because the experience is sometimes not worth it when all the stuff you have to put up with. Now you throw this in. I think just for curiosity's sake of going to a game that has a small crowd there and then you're socially distancing, like, what is that experience like? There's part of me that's curious about it, but there's nothing better than sitting on my couch, surround sound, beer in my hand, and I'm able to watch and don't have to worry about any lines or, you know, people yelling stuff. Yeah, Paul.
I kind of hope, I know there's money involved, that there's no concessions. Like, they want to be cautious, and it's BYO. You could bring in like a 12-pack and a foot-long sub. Little hot plate.
Can I bring in a mule? Like, I just load up a mule and it just, you know, I'll have it tested and I'll have my mule tested.
Roll in a cooler.
Yeah. Just just put a bunch of stuff on its back and just, you know, clop, clop, clop. Let it, you know, get some hay for it. Let it graze up there. Yes, McLovin.
No, it sounds like much more fun as going to an Army game with you. Like, that seems like a more pleasant experience for some reason.
If we get that opportunity, I would love to go to a West Point game.
I think they have Air Force at home first Saturday of November. Saucy.
I saw them play Air Force 2 years ago up there. And that wasn't a good experience for West Point. Air Force is a little better. I remember going up there when Stanford played. Stanford played, and Army was holding its own. They were up 7-6 at the end of the first quarter. And if you said these are two college football teams, FBS college football teams, I wouldn't have believed you. Because when Stanford took the field, it was like there were grown men that came out there. Because those cadets, when they take the field, you're like, oh, okay. They're lying. Stanford had tight ends that were bigger than anybody on Army's roster there. Stanford came out and I went, oh, my God. I hope West Point doesn't get embarrassed there. But, man, their style, their system is so good. You know, when they went to Oklahoma and nearly beat Oklahoma, I think that went overtime. That was awesome. Loved it. But, yeah, I'd love to go see a game at West Point. All right, we'll come back. I got to get to this play of the day. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a grand slam, 2 home runs last night, but it provided a little bit of drama. Let me get to Sam in Iowa, who is a Chiefs season ticket holder. Hi, Sam. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, you're just talking. You weren't sure how the Chiefs were doing it. I just got the email yesterday. They're selling tickets in pods of 4, which is the default setting. You can request tickets for 2 if you want. But they're just selling for the first 3 games right now, just the Texans, the Patriots, and the Raiders. And it goes on to your seniority, so first come, you know, first serve, I guess, for your seniority. But there is no transfer of the ticket either. Like, I go to probably 3 or 4 games a year, and then I sell the rest. Well, that is strictly not allowed. So I think that might help in the ticket sales. Also, if you're not a season ticket member, I don't think you'll be able to get tickets this year.
But how are they going to do it, Sam, with a lottery? And are you going to be able to pick the game you want to go to?
Right, you can request that. Like, they're selling the first 3 games right now, so you can request all 3 games if you want, but then it just goes by your tenure. So, like, I've only been a season ticket holder for a couple of years, so obviously I'm way back in the line. So, but if you've been a season ticket holder for 30 years, obviously you're going to get your pick of whatever you want. So it goes by tenure.
Do you have any concerns about going to a game?
I am not going to a game.
Okay.
But I do have friends that I sell to, so I'm going to phone and just ask them if I'm able to purchase tickets for them. I'm not selling to a stranger. You know, I'm selling to my friends, so I'll have to see what they say about that.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks for the update. All right, we'll take a break. Play of the day is coming up next. We'll settle on our poll question. Peter King will talk about the Kansas City Chiefs in particular, their attendance and what they're expecting with their home games. And also, he was at the Buccaneers camp sat down with Tom Brady. So we'll spend some time with Peter King. Also, a little bit later on, Reggie Miller will join us to talk about what he saw yesterday and last night. And, of course, we get ready for the Lakers and the Blazers. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Here is the Rangers manager, Chris Woodward. He didn't like that Tatis was swinging on a 3-0 count where they're up by 10 runs.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of unwritten rules that are, you know, constantly being challenged, I think, in today's game. So, yeah, I didn't like it personally. You know, when you're up by 7 in the 8th inning, it's typically not a good time to swing 3-0. That's kind of, you know, the way we were all kind of raised in the game. But, you know, like I said, the norms are being challenged on a daily basis. So just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not right. But I don't think we liked it as a group.
Okay, you were raised that way in baseball. That's the Rangers manager. Here's Jace Tingler, the Padres manager.
You know, it probably starts with just, you know, picking up the sign. I think like the learning opportunity. And just so you know, a lot of our guys have green light, you know, 3-0. But, you know, in this game in particular, you know, we had a little bit of a comfortable lead. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, run up the score or anything like that. And so, you know, put on the take sign and you know, probably see a strike right there.
Now, Jace Tingler has a point. He told Tatis to take the pitch. Now, that's a different topic because that's player and manager. The other part of this is the unwritten rule. And to his credit, Tatis apologized for swinging at a 3-0 pitch.
I've been in this game since I was a kid, man. And I know a lot of unwritten rules. And but no, this time I didn't. I was kind of lost on this one. I was, you know, they told me after 5-7, after 6, or something like that. And you know, from those experiences, you gotta learn from it. Probably next time I take a pitch. Now that I know from it, and you know, we just gotta learn from it and keep looking forward.
Okay, should we have a mercy rule? Like, that'll protect everybody's feelings here. Hey, you're up 10. It's late in the game. This isn't the last inning where you're up by 10 and you're swinging for the downs. Now, what happens if you continue to play in the Rangers? If the Padres can put up 10, I'm going to guess the Rangers might be able to put up 10. And then what happens if the Rangers come back? Now I'm allowed to? Do the Rangers promise not to beat you if they come back? Hey, we can't score 7. That wouldn't be fair. But,
Dan, you play baseball, I didn't play baseball. Do you think there's a big difference between, like, let's say there is a man at second base and you're up a bunch of runs and you steal a base. That's like maybe above and beyond what's necessary. He was just completing his at-bat, Tatis.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Tatis. I have a problem if he disobeys his manager, but I don't have a problem if he's swinging. I don't, you know? If you're going to stop trying, the Rangers, if you stop trying, then you're asking the Padres to stop trying. Like, hey, don't be swinging for a home run. So can I hit a triple? Can I hit a double? Can I swing on 3-1, but not 3-0? Because I'm not sure what the magic number is, whether it's the count or how many runs we're ahead. If I'm up 6, I'm allowed to swing. 7, am I allowed to swing? Maybe not. 8? Ooh, no. Yeah, see.
The thing that stinks about playing baseball and being on, like, if you're just getting shelled, right, and it's a 8-run inning, you're like, damn, man, like, you know, there's no clock counting down to get you out of that. You just have to get the outs, and sometimes it's impossible to find them. So that's, like, the only slight thing I can say is, like, damn, dude, like, all right, you guys are killing us. Can't we just go home? Can't we just stop doing
then
this already?
Then have a mercy rule.
You know, right. I mean, maybe there needs to be a mercy rule then if this is what people are going to be upset about is somebody.
Why don't you just say to the pitcher, just take a knee. Just take a knee and then we'll go, okay, we're all done here. I mean, baseball is trying to speed up these games. So just say, all right, we give up. We're down 10 in the 8th inning. We're going to take a knee. Yes, Tom.
Imagine if a manager threw in a towel like you do in boxing. If you think you're a boxer that's had enough, you can call it. You don't have to wait for all the rounds to end. Just imagine what kind of grief a manager or coach would take if you could throw a towel in to stop the game.
Well, you can get ahead in match play in golf by a certain number of holes where you go, okay, we're done after 15 holes. I closed you out here. But this mercy rule and unwritten rule and, yeah, McLovin.
But you aren't supposed to steal a base. So there are some things that are established.
But that is different. If I'm at the plate with a bat in my hand, am I just supposed to not swing? If you steal a base, I understand where you could be a little frosty with that. But I'm at the plate. What am I supposed to do? Strike out? To make you feel better? Yeah, see.
Right. It's we have too many runs. Time for an intentional strikeout.
Yeah.
Just to help the other team.
Hey, we can't get you out.
Or swing the bat, but not too well.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Try to hit it to somebody. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, I've been in the position in sports where I've had mercy taken on me because I stink. I could talk about this. It's way worse than getting beat by 40. I lost a wrestling match once, like 18-0, which in wrestling is, that might be a national record. But you know what? I didn't get pinned and the guy kept trying and I didn't feel that bad about it, but I didn't quit and I didn't,
They didn't say, well, you're down 18. We're going to stop this match. That would have been embarrassing.
And whenever I've played a game and you're getting roughed up, like the last thing I want you to do is take mercy on me. I would rather that you just, you know, just kill me. Just finish the game. Dominate. If then I have to get better. It's not on you to feel sorry for me. It's like there should be a mercy rule with Bob Costas winning sports Emmys.
Wow.
Right? But I don't want Bob to quit, and I want to beat him when I'm in his category. Right now, the score is, I think, 28-2. But there's no mercy rule in sports Emmys. I'm going to get Costas one of these days. Yes, McLovin.
Don't NBA guys fight all the time about that layup at the end of the game?
Well, I saw this last night.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet did that with the Raptors game. They were up by 30. And then I saw that with Jaylen Brown in the 76ers game. Right at the very end, they could have scored a layup. They did not. Okay. But in the course of a game, then I want you to continue. Pile it on. Not, come on, that's poor sportsmanship. We're not talking T-ball or Little League. We're talking about grown men. Get him out. Don't throw him a meatball up there on 3-0. Yes, McLovin.
I just Googled that. Players who hit shots at the end of an NBA game and got in a fight. It was like four Lance Stevenson clips came up. He started like four brawls. He's like doing a 360 windmill with up 40 with 1 second left.
I have a problem with that. Or you're trying to get your triple-double where you purposely miss a shot. Yes, he.
Yeah, I don't like the guy going for the steal at the end of the game when you're down 30 and there's 5 seconds left. Dude, stop.
Well, didn't we have that with the Kansas State kid earlier? This year? Was that last year? And then there was a fight, bench clear. Yes, McLovin.
But if you're a bench warmer or you need to pad your stats, I mean, if you were Jaylen Brown last night, would you have dribbled that out? Or would you
would
have hit the
layup? No, I would have scored. I would have gone in for the layup. I got to pad my stats, man. Pad my stats. Lay in. It didn't hurt anything. I wouldn't dunk, but I would lay it in. Like a nice, crisp, off-the-backboard layup. Something like that. I might even go in left-handed just a little bit. All right, Peter King will join us coming up. His thoughts on the Buccaneers. Are we overrating the Buccaneers? Could we possibly be underrating the Buccaneers? And what's he make of the Kansas City Chiefs saying there'll be fans in the stands? And then Reggie Miller will stop by final hour. Dan and the Danette, Stan Patrick Show.